A very pleasant good afternoon to you, wherever you may be. Welcome into Hour 2 of the game. Tyler Dreiling and Mitch Fortner with you until 6 o'clock. Kansas State baseball coverage will take over then. The Wildcats take on West Virginia tonight at 6:30, weather permitting. Later in this hour, we will talk with John Kurtz, who is at Toyn Family Stadium, about this upcoming series and the history that is on the line for Brad Hill coming up in this series as well. We'll talk about the Chiefs' schedule, which was released last night, and it is not your typical NFL schedule by any means, which can be viewed either positively or negatively, but I've got a little bit of a hot take on that. And, of course, we'll finish off the show with You Can't Be Serious. If you want to give us a call, 537-1350, 866-776-1350. And if you missed anything from the first hour, the podcast page on the website, newsradiokman.com, under the On Demand tab. We're going to start off this hour talking about the K-State spring game. Kicks off at 1 o'clock tomorrow from Bill Snyder Family Stadium. Should be a fun event. I always enjoy the spring games, not necessarily because it tells us a whole lot about the team that K-State has, but this time of the year with basketball now over, unless you're an NBA fan, which I am not, but with basketball now over and baseball is in full swing, but we are not yet to the point of like the really important, the really intense baseball like we get when we get into the playoffs. It's great to have a football game to go to, even if it's just a scrimmage. It is it's great to be outdoors and be in that environment. And I always take every opportunity I can to go to Bill Snyder Family Stadium for any kind of event because it's a fun place to be. So I'm really looking forward to everything that's going to be going on tomorrow, along with the baseball game that's going to follow it up.
And Tyler, before we get into the discussion about the spring game, I do want to get a little bit of info out there real quick about that spring game. First of all, parking lots will be opening up at 10 a.m. It is free to park, so you don't have to worry about, you know, dishing out any money like you might be at Arrowhead Stadium this year. Gates will open up at 11:30. Now, the east side, you can still get in on the east side, but you will not be able to sit on the east side of the stadium. That'll be blocked off because of construction, and you'll be able to sit on the west side, on the full west side, and the south side. So it's all general admission seating. You can sit wherever you want, preferably. Maybe there won't be a whole lot of sun out anyway, so shade won't be a factor. But the game will start at 1:10. That's the official kickoff, 1:10. Only $5 to get in.
Yep. And Powercat game day starts when?
11:30.
11:30.
Hour edition.
Okay. So 11:30 for Powercat game day as well. Thank you, Mitch, for getting that info out there in case you need it. I think we also have the details up on our website if you want to check that out. I know that they have them over at kstatesports.com as well. Now, spring games are one of the most overanalyzed sporting events there is, and part of that is because of when they fall during the year. I just mentioned how everyone is starved for some football of any type, and sometimes that can trick you into making things more significant than they are. Not that there is never anything that you can take away from them, because there is. I go back to what I've said about spring games for a long time, which is spring games tell you very little about a team collectively, but an awful lot about individuals. And so that's where the significance comes in of tomorrow. And K-State will be in an interesting situation because it sounds like they are going to be missing 8 or 9 starters, or last year's starters from this game, just because of little injury issues. It doesn't sound like any of those are really severe, but you're not going to want to risk it, obviously. So K-State will be a little bit shorthanded in that regard. But taking all those things into consideration, I've put together a list of what is important to keep an eye on tomorrow and what is not, or in maybe a better way to phrase it is things that are likely to induce an overreaction. So I'm going to go through both of them, and Mitch, I'll bounce them off you and see what you think. But number one for me, as far as what is important, is who starts at linebacker for the Purple team, because the Purples are generally the number ones. It's usually number ones versus number twos. And obviously how they perform. K-State has a lot to replace with the linebackers, with Elijah Lee headed to the NFL draft and Shamichael Moore gone as well. They have a lot of depth at that position, but a lot of those players have not been on the field in a significant capacity how much of a step is K-State losing at linebacker? That is a key question for the season, and we'll have to see how polished they look when they're on the field tomorrow.
No, you're totally fair about that. That's my number one concern, is who's going to be – I mean, we're one for one so far, because I want to see who's going to start at linebacker. Coach gave us some – rattled off some names like Trent Tanking, Jade Kirby, some of those guys who have impressed him the most.
Sam Sizelove.
Sam Sizelove would be the other one as well he mentioned. And Daquan Patton is the name that's really been thrown around, but that was Sean a couple weeks ago who was praising him, and then Coach kind of brought him back down to earth a little bit with, well, he needs to learn more. He's still young. He's got a lot of things to get to know about this
you know,
about the program,
playing the position, yeah.
And so that's kind of a slash. That's like, you know, 1A is who's going to start linebacker. 1B is how well does Daquan Patton do?
And, you know, when I say it's important to watch the linebackers, I understand that I'm asking something that's pretty close to impossible a lot of times. I mean, at least for the casual fan, when the ball is snapped, you're not going to be watching what the linebackers are doing, and you typically only notice them when they either make a really big positive play or make a really big mistake. If they, you know, miss a wide open tackle or something like that, you're going to notice that. If they make a big hit on a running back coming through the hole, you're going to notice that. And that's just 2% of what they're actually doing on the field. So it's hard to judge that kind of thing, but I do think it's important, and at the very least, we should be able to learn something about the physicality of K-State's new linebacking core in the game tomorrow. All right, number two for my list of important things to watch for in the spring game, how Alex Delton looks throwing the ball. Now, statistics, I'm not necessarily talking about what his stats end up being, because as we've talked about over the course of this week, spring games are really, really bad for K-State quarterbacks in terms of actually learning things, since running the ball is such a huge part of the playbook for K-State quarterbacks, no matter who they are. And Alex Delton obviously is not going to be able to do even half of what he normally would do just because of that factor. But you can still see what he looks like mechanically throwing the ball, and specifically those passes of greater than 15 yards or 20 yards, something like that. That's a part of his game that has really held him back so far at K-State, and he needs to be reaching a point in his career that he's starting to develop that if he wants to be in the mix to potentially be K-State's next starting quarterback at some point in time. So watching his throw accuracy, particularly on throws down the field, is something that I think is significant.
Yeah, I like that idea, but I'm just going to flip it around the other way with, yeah, I want to see K-State throw the ball, but I want to see how the defensive backs in the secondary handle that, because,
sure,
of course, no more Dante Barnett.
Right.
That's another hole K-State needs to fill, and there's some names, obviously, we know that could possibly take that spot, but there's also young guys that will be up for grabs in that spot as well, and it's just all about execution right now for that.
Right, yeah. If a pass is incomplete in tomorrow's game, it's not necessarily because Alex Delton made a bad throw.
Yeah.
So you do have to take that into consideration, and that's one of the reasons why I think the stats probably won't tell the whole story, because of those other factors that go into it. Number three on my list, things that I think are pretty important, what do we see out of Mike McCoy tomorrow? And we talked about this a little bit in the first hour, but he has supposedly or reportedly been one of the big names, the big breakout players in K-State's spring camp. The coaches seem really pleased with what he's been able to do. And so the question becomes, is he actually going to be a guy that can steal some carries away from Alex Barnes and Justin Silman coming up when the season gets started in September? I don't think that he's going to be any threat to be like K-State's starting running back, but if he's a guy that K-State feels like they need to get him, you know, 4 or 5 touches a game, something like that, I think that's a positive thing. And we just have not seen much of him. I mean, I covered him a couple of times when he played at Topeka High,
right,
because they played Manhattan, and he was a really impressive player, but you can't take anything away from what he was doing against, you know, other high school players. I want to see what he looks like tomorrow and see if maybe K-State's running backs are even deeper than we thought.
Well, I think there's a good chance this season, and I'm going to go ahead and speculate on this, that Alex Barnes will probably be the starter. I think there's really no secret. I think he's earned himself in that position. And Mike McCoy will be that guy when, after Alex gets a big run, he'll come in and replace him when Alex needs a breather. He'll be that guy to back him up. He'll be his right-hand man. And honestly, I think he might have already stolen some carries from Alex this season. I mean, we'll see about that because coaches have, once again, and I mentioned this beforehand, they've already talked highly of him. Mm-hmm. And we'll see in the spring game if he'll get some reps with the purple squad, which I'd love to see that. I think he should. I think multiple running backs should get a chance to get some reps with the purple squad because, I mean, that – who knows? I don't see the backup position for running back as open as maybe others do, but it might be open more than I realize. Mm-hmm. So more reps, the better for those guys. And Alex Barnes has already, he's in my opinion, proved himself. He doesn't need 20 carries tomorrow, and he won't get 20 carries, but he doesn't need to do that.
Right. Yeah, I agree, and so that's what makes it more intriguing to see what Mike McCoy can do. A couple things that are on the other side of this coin, things that I think – fans will want to try to watch or react to, but probably will do that to a greater extent than necessary or will overreact to. Number one is the performance of the offensive line, and there are a couple of reasons for that. Number one, it does look like injuries will affect what K-State's starting offensive line looks like tomorrow. Dalton Reisner may be one of those guys. We don't know for sure who those guys are going to be, but I believe that there are going to be two starters on the offensive line that are going to be out for tomorrow. So that's one of the big factors. The other one is that the offensive line will be working with a quarterback that is not going to be their normal quarterback when we get to the games that matter. I mean, they're going to be working with either Alex Delton or Skylar Thompson, and it is important for them to have good chemistry there, but it's not as crucial as it is with Jesse Ertz when he's under center. So if there are a lot of, I say sacks, but they really are just, the quarterback getting touched in the backfield. There may be some concern from that, but I don't think there should be. I think K-State's offensive line is going to be just fine. So don't lose it if K-State has a lot of plays that end up with tackles in the backfield.
I just want to see execution. Execution on both sides of the ball. I'm a defensive guy naturally, so I want to see some big things. Like, you're not going to obviously see anybody sack the quarterback physically, but I want to see guys just create havoc on the line of scrimmage, especially on that defensive side, because there won't be any Will Geary. That's another name we haven't talked about that won't be more likely not playing because he just hasn't been around the program right now. So that's another hole they're going to be filling in, and it's just another question. Can it get done? And especially with the amount of injuries, we don't know exactly everybody who isn't going to play. Mm-hmm. So this isn't I don't know if you've ever mentioned this, but you've mentioned like spring training. Just doesn't matter, right? Mostly just doesn't matter. It's just basically a tune-up, and maybe some of those guys will get a spot on the roster. I think the spring game is way more important than what a lot of people but according to Coach, and this is according to Coach Snyder, practice is more important. Well, this is still a practice, but this is like a game. You're going to hopefully see what Coach has been impressed with the most at practice highlighted at the spring game.
The other thing, the last thing that I have on my list as far as things that I think people may overreact to a little bit is Carlos Strickland's impact on this game. I remember all the talk going into last year's spring game was Byron Pringle and how amazing he was going to be, and he was really good. But that didn't mean much to K-State's season until very late in the season. It was a very slow start for him last year, and I just think that there shouldn't be any expectations. I mean, maybe he will do some great things in this game. Maybe he will be completely invisible. We just don't know enough about Carlos Strickland and how he's going to fit into this system. Fans are very excited about him. He's a big wide receiver. He's a former four-star recruit, transfer from Cal. Fans are excited, and they have reason to be excited, but that doesn't mean that he should or has to, go out and have 150 yards receiving for K-State tomorrow. I don't even know what team he's going to play on. I actually think there's probably a pretty good chance that he'll be playing with the number twos. He may be on the receiving end of passes from Hunter Hall, and again, I just don't think you should read into that much. Now, I say that understanding that Carlos Strickland is actually on Mitch's spring game fantasy team, so maybe you are going to take it really seriously because you need him to get
some points,
a couple
Carlos.
Touchdowns. Yeah.
Need some points.
Yeah, so in that regard, very important. But in regards to reality, I don't think it's that significant of a deal at all. We're going to head to our first break here of Hour 2. I am really looking forward to the spring game tomorrow, and we can certainly analyze that over the course of the next week, even though, as I've said, things are going to be blown a little bit out of proportion. When we come back, last night the Chiefs' schedule was released. That in itself isn't that interesting, but a couple of big notes with that schedule and how many primetime games the Chiefs are going to be playing. I've got a little bit of a lukewarm take on that, plus another Chiefs-related story that has Mitch and I very angry and staying away from Arrowhead Stadium this season. That's coming up next on The Game.